The Blair Witch Project, which you've just been talking about, may well have been total fiction, but our next play deals with a mixture of fact and fiction. Of all the fan mail that George Best ever received, there was one letter of which he was particularly proud. It came to him in 1994 from a woman called Anna Costia. She was a political dissident in Nicolae Ceaușescu's Romania. In the letter, she told Best how much he and John Lennon meant to her and to other prisoners, as they symbolised for them the essence of freedom. George Best's friend, John Warrington, has now written a play where Anna finally gets to meet both John Lennon and George Best. Living the Dream will open at the Andrew Lloyd Webber's Other Palace Theatre in London next January, but it's receiving its first public outing as a staged reading next Monday in the Strand Arts Centre, Belfast, during the Eastside Arts Festival. I suppose there's no more suitable place for a play featuring George Best to open. John Warrington, the writer, and Debbie Arnold, who plays the part of Anna Costia, join me now on phones from London. John, now let's start with the factual bit. There was a letter, and I think you were a sports, or you were working in sports reporting at the time, and George Best showed you this letter. What was the letter that he showed you?
Sean, hi. Yes, the letter was, well, first of all, the incredible thing was there was no address on the envelope. It just said George Best, London, and of course it found him. But the letter said that he and John had given hope to so many prisoners because they were the essence of the word freedom. And
do you remember this? Do you remember when he acted the time or the situation in which he showed you this letter?
Yeah, we were having dinner in London. This was about 1994. And I remember as I was reading it, you look up and you could see in his eyes how proud he was to receive a letter. And that you know, George always felt that he was the boy from Belfast. You know, he didn't see himself as this. He didn't understand his, at times, his global popularity. And so he was absolutely so proud to receive this.
Yeah, well, let's find out a little bit more about the woman from whom the letter came, and Debbie Arnold, who's sitting beside you there, is playing the role of Anna Costia. Tell us a little bit about Anna Costia, Debbie, and who she was. Oh, we don't have Debbie Arnold, do we not? No, not at the moment. Well, maybe you, John.
Hang on, I'm going to pass you a switch. Her phone's gone dead. Hang on.
Her phone's gone dead. Oh, we're having good fun tonight.
Oh, it's lovely to be at the BBC with all the mod cons, isn't it?
All right. Well,
the studio didn't work. The phone's gone dead.
Right, well, let's stick with one for now. I'll tell you what, I'll ask you a couple of questions about Anna, Debbie, and then I'll go back to John shortly. So tell me a little bit about this woman, Anna Costia. She is a real person and has a history behind her. Who was she?
Well, you're asking the wrong person here. I'm just an actor. John knows all the history about her. I just know that I'm playing her, and I know that sounds very, very... I mean, we've got this play together. We started doing it last year, and we've been doing a couple of readings of it, and I have never played Anna before. So this time I'm doing it because my daughter is actually playing the young Anna.
Ah.
So I am just being, literally, I'm reading it because actually when we do the production, I won't be playing her and she will be played by somebody else, but I will be playing another part in it. But at the moment, I'm playing Anna. So does that make sense to you?
That does make sense. I tell you what,
because
it makes
it's
it with,
reading.
Between the studios falling down and one of the phones breaking, I'm wondering, has in fact Brexit begun while we are on air right now?
Yeah, Brexit has just happened. Didn't you know that? Well, this is happening at the same time. No, So I'm actually playing a character that I can tell you a lot about when the play actually does. And I actually played John Lennon's Auntie Mimi.
Ah, right. And she features quite heavily in the play.
She is, and she's a fabulous character and lots of fun. But Anna is a very deep and fantastic character. But because we could only do so much for the actual reading today, you know, we can't do the whole play.
Yeah, Mimi is mentioned along this kind of abridged version. But look, let's find out a little bit about Anna. So maybe if you wouldn't mind, Debbie, you could hand me back then.
Yes, I shall hand you back to John.
To John Warrington, who I hope is still there in London and hasn't left the building. You are there, great. I'm relieved. Tell me about Anna Costia, because she is the woman I really want to hear about, because the Best and Lennon thing, people know George Best, people know John Lennon. I'm not so sure how many of us know about Anna Costia, and I think we should know about her.
Right, Anna was, at the time she wrote the letter, she became, after being released from prison, a radio presenter in Bucharest. Prior to that, she was known as a writer and journalist and poet. And she wrote so many poems that she had to write using sort of code to hide the true meaning from the Ceausescu regime. But they caught up with, you know, a lot of the understanding. And she actually became more and more outspoken and was repeatedly sent to and from prison.
And was it her outspokenness that caused problems for her parents, or were her parents similarly outspoken?
No, that was a different regime. Her parents were killed when she was a small child. That was under the previous Romanian
leader. Just post the Second World War.
And the re-education program, which was, again, so little is known outside of Romania about what went on there. And the re-education program was a massive brainwashing program that took place between 1948 and 1952. It was absolutely horrendous. The way that if people didn't conform to the ideology, ideology, then they were put into prison. Brother was forced to rape sister, husband was forced to beat wife. It was absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it was Gheorghe Georgiou was the previous leader before Ceausescu, wasn't it? But Ceausescu took over. Yeah. Things certainly didn't improve. In fact, it could be argued that they got a lot worse. Given what you're telling us, John, about the nature of finding out what happened to people even was very difficult. How did you find out about Ana Costilla? How did you research her story?
Well, the letter, you know, there was a lot in the letter that was revealed in the letter. And then I travelled to Romania. I went back again in March. And we were hoping to actually meet her, but the leads we've got is that she's very ill with dementia at the moment. So sadly, that wasn't possible.
Now, so what you've done then in terms of the play is, again, I said at the beginning, some of it is fact and some of it is fiction. Obviously, the woman Anna did exist, and sadly, the situation that you tell us about her now may well pertain. George Best and John Lennon did not appear to her on as you imagine in this play, on her deathbed. So just explain why you bring George Best and John Lennon into it, and the sort of things that allowed you to discuss within the play.
Right, so first of all, in the letter, and this is why it's called Living the Dream, she actually wrote it would be her dream, you know, she would be living her dream to one day meet George. Shortly after George died, I was asked to do a couple of radio interviews about what George meant, and it was such a wide-reaching question. So I felt that to pay him tribute at the time, that recounting the letter was perhaps the best way, you know, to pay my own tribute to him. And then after that, people said you should do something with it. You make documentaries, so make a documentary about that. And then a little while later, I was asked to work on a project which actually never happened in the end, called The Fifth Beatle. And it was sort of to try and find, you know, a competition for who was the fifth Beatle. Was it Brian Epstein? Mm. Was it George Martin? And George Best's name came into the frame. And in my head, that put John and George back together again.
Yes, yeah.
Following the letter. And so from there, as you do, I decided to write a play and for Anna to actually live her dream.
Yeah, to get a chance to meet them. One of the things that, you know, there are lots of other extraneous characters that come into the fray here as well. And I know that you've shortened version or an abridged version that you'll be reading as part of the East Side Festival, where I guess the George Best bits are probably the ones that you made sure to keep in there. But one of the things that that one of the reporters in the play mentions at one point, he talks about Best being manna from heaven for us hacks. Was he terribly manipulated, do you think, by the hacks at the time?
Yes, absolutely. As I said, I knew George very well. And actually, the scene that comes from, and I can talk about this, it's almost what George told me about what happened to him on the Wogan show. And it wasn't just hacks, it was producers as well. But yes, he was. There were times when, back in the 60s, he couldn't leave his house. Even in the 80s and 90s, George was still making headlines. They were following him everywhere. And again, this is part of the reason for, you know, the comparisons in the play. You know, Anna had her dreadful imprisonment, but you could also argue that John and George were both prisoners of their own fame.
Yeah, and of course, both of them, Lennon dead at 40, Best dead at 59. And that echoes, I think, that a point she talks about her own mother and father and the ages at which they died. Again, quite young, in their 50s, really, they were. Wasn't that the story?
You're talking about Anna's
Anna's,
mother,
Anna's parents, yes.
Oh, they would have been even younger because she was about six or seven at the time. So they would have been in their late 30s, 40s.
There's one particular incident that I thought might be worth retelling. Is there's a letter that she gets, Anna in the play gets a letter from her beloved, a young man called Mihai, I think, and he has left.
Yeah.
He has left. He has, as far as the those who are imprisoning her are concerned, they call him a traitor. Tell us the scene where she has to make a decision about whether to open that letter or not.
Right. This is taken something from the. It absolutely highlights what I was saying earlier about the re-education program and how they brainwashed people and manipulated people. So Anna receives a letter. A prison guard brings it to her. He wants favors, for want of a better word, and but rather than be very outward about it, he's more Machiavellian. And he drops the letter on the floor, and Anna has to make the decision whether to open the letter but pay the prison guard a favour, or not find out what's in the letter, not find out if there's any news about any uprisings that they were hoping for in Romania, or just to hear from her partner that she's not heard from in a while.
Yeah, so she has this terrible Hobson's type of choice to make. So the rehearsed reading then taking place in Belfast this Saturday. This is the first public outing. I know that there is a plan for a full production further down the line, but is this the first time it will be heard in public?
Absolutely, and it had to be in East Belfast. George was so proud of his East Belfast roots. And what a great festival. Looking at the programme, I wish we could be in Belfast for longer, actually, because what they're putting together seems amazing, and we ourselves are delighted to be part of it.
All right, well, I'll get off the phone before the battery runs out on your phone as well. That's John Warrington there speaking to me. And earlier you also heard from Debbie Arnold, who's playing the part of Anna in the reading of this play, Living the Dream. That reading takes place at the Strand Arts Centre in Belfast, 6:30, Monday the 5th of August, as part of the East Side Arts Festival. And you can find out full details on strandartscentre.com and eastsidearts.net.